Well, this is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and I'm here this morning with Charles Oskey, Superintendent of Schools at Johnson County School District Number 1. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? So we're back. We're back on the radio, and first interview of the new year, 2023. What's been happening in Johnson County School District?
Lots of exciting things. First thing is we started out our second semester. So let's talk about the kids and the things and activities are up and going. Weather's been nice. I know we ended last semester with a lot of cold weather and snow.
Yes.
Other places have still had the snow. I don't want to not speak, but we've had some roads closed, even though it's been nice here due to the fortunate we did not get the snow around. But overall, we're up and going as far as with kids and activities and starting our second semester. Part of that excitement is the first time that we've actually had a full day of professional development before kids come back. So I think that was well perceived by teachers. And so I think we're off to a good start. Overall, as a district, we just finished up a two-day, very intense training on how to expend or the procurement and purchase of policies for federal grants, which kind of does everyday business too. So that's a topic to talk about here today.
So how is the school district involved with federal grants? How does that, are we using those for programs? And you
yeah.
know, is that important?
And these are great questions. So to kind of just give a little history why we had a training. So when I first came on, we do have a new team. One of the things we went through is a state-federal grant investigation, which we came out with a corrective action plan, which had to do with procedures and protocols on what you do with your federal grants. But in addition to that, it's public knowledge that we're under a federal investigation. So part of that in staying compliance is to actually have training related to this. And so what we did is we turned this into a super positive. Not only does Johnson County School District Number 1 want to grow, but we invited the State Facilities Commission, the Wyoming Department of Education. I think we had close to 30 of the 48 districts that either participated virtually or in person. And we housed that here. And we brought a law firm out of Washington, D.C. that they have their Edgar book. They're considered the experts on what are the do's and don'ts for federal grants. And so we spent 2 days. We also did training from the State Facilities Department, which has its own procurement and expenditure policy. So it was really a great opportunity to really gather. We had our district auditor attend with us, who does audits for other districts. Our legal counsel attended. So we had a lot of good things happening. And so that Johnson County has a lot of good things that we've been doing, but there's some areas we need to improve on, and that's what kind of came out of it. It was solid knowledge in some of the things that we are doing.
So we under a federal investigation for the way we procured grants.
So there was there's a reporting system, we call it a whistleblower, that on how federal grants, or more importantly, this one to be specific, was how ESSER funds were expended.
And ESSER funds
are your COVID funds.
Okay, cool. So basically COVID
So funds. COVID funds were expended in 2020. So we're just kind of working through that investigation. And there's different avenues. We're not sure where that is with that investigation, other than we have identified that some procedures and policies need to change from the past. And so that's why bringing this training in was us showing that we as a district are moving in the right direction.
For those of us who aren't financial people, what's the bottom line for the students and the district with this?
Absolutely. So, and it gets complicated. So I don't want to complicate it. So I'm going to simplify it. So we have always received as districts, including Johnson County, what we call federal grants. So that can be your Title IIA, which is your professional development, your Title IV. We receive some funding for the homeless, which all have strings attached to it. Your Title I schools is a big funding, but more importantly, special education has a separate funding, which is your 619 and 611 IDEA stuff. So we've always received federal funding, which ties right back to the schools and what we're doing with either professional development. So it's really that federal funding is in addition to the block funding. But it's complicated. It's not just money you can spend. It has strings attached to it, has regulations that are tied to it. And those are the things that you have to take into account with federal funds. So, and then what happens is we get audited. And so in a district like our size, they're called single audits. And those single audits happen with any district specific to if you spend more than $750,000 on federal grants. Well, with the infusion of federal funds with COVID funds, and it's just, let's simplify that. There's CARES, there's GEARS, there's ESSER, there's ESSER 2, there's ESSER Extension, there's ESSER 3, there's all sorts of rumors. So let's just summarize for today. Those are COVID relief funds. So we can be specific, but each one of those has a different name. But for today's sake, it's COVID relief funds.
That helps.
Well, that pretty much bumped everybody up over the top of that certain expenditure every year. And if you do, then you get a special audit in addition to your normal audit. So when those things come up, they're findings. And when those findings come out, you have to address them. So there's a difference between audit findings and federal investigation too. So audit findings we have to address, which we're addressing, like I said before, with the others, which is still some procedures and policies. And it's a starting point, okay? How we've done business, things have changed, rules have changed. So instead of just, I'm not a finger pointer. This is what we have. This is what we got. A lot of this stuff was prior administration. It doesn't mean they were doing things wrong, maybe a misunderstanding. But now that this has been identified, the this is how we do it comment needs to change, and this is how we need to move forward and do it. So approaching it that way. So, so we do have a federal investigation. There was self-reported from the community, so they're looking into that. We've had audits that we're looking at too. And I can say under my leadership, we are taking the steps in the right direction. It takes time, but we are changing procedures and policies, and we cannot say this is how we used to do it and how this we need to continue to do it this way, because we have some very powerful people that said, no, we need to revisit that. In that means, again, we're revisiting how we go out to bid for even just other things. So we have to have a system in place. I apologize. We have to have a system in place that kind of just helps all of us understand it, because it is complex. And to show you how complex it is we have general guidelines from the state. We have general guidelines from the federal government. We have guidelines with the State Facilities Commission. We have guidelines with special guidelines with special ed. So making sure that we understand all of their expectations with these grants and all the strings that are attached, so that down the road, when we do get audited, it isn't if, I want to really repeat, when we do get audited, that we can answer the questions. And so it all comes back to that question, how does this benefit kids? This is money that impacts the education or what we can do in the district. And if you look at that overall funding piece, that can easily be $500,000 to $1 million on an annual basis.
So are you saying that we could lose that money, or it's just we have to change policy?
If we don't change the way we do business, we potentially could lose the money.
Okay. But, I mean, there's probably nobody out there who's saying, we're going to rip this money from you. We don't care, because everyone wants kids to win in this any of these.
They do,
but
I'm going to be real. It's on the chopping block. If we don't demonstrate that we're doing, and there might be funds that we have to pay back. So there's a funding piece that we might have to pay back. But there isn't anybody that says, hey, we're going to rip it out from underneath us. However, that is on the line. They made it very clear. If we don't change and don't change our procedures, they will look at us closely for the next 3 years, that could eliminate our funding. And everybody's been really good with that. But I'm not going to be non-transparent. There's money that we might have to return. And that's a typical thing.
So I remember working in administration at the healthcare center during COVID. And, I mean, it was... they were just pouring money at agencies, and it was inc- incredibly difficult to figure out what the rules were. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically gave the money and then wrote the rules in some cases, at least, you know, it seemed that way to me. So I'm guessing Johnson County School District is not the only district this has happened to. Is this correct, or are
so we had 38 districts. So you not just only Johnson County, the state of Wyoming, it's nationwide. The rules have changed. I agree. This is why the Edgar book was rewritten. There's another training of where we're coming. But what they're coming back to is when some of these did come out, there were specific expectations of how those were spent and whether you documented those things. So the rules were there. Okay. And some of the extension of the COVID rules were the same rules that we had to use with federal grants that we've had forever. So you were given this money, but you had to follow Title I, Title II, mm-hmm. all the same expectations. So were we
not following those?
No, I'm saying that how we procure, how we went into it, some of those procedures all need to be looked at.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So this is nationwide, but Johnson County is being looked at at this point.
We're the only district in the state right now, to my knowledge, that's under a federal investigation. Okay.
Okay. So
I don't want to misspeak, but there are other districts around the nation that are kind of in the same boat, all right?
Right.
So, but there are things, there's evidence, and ethically, I have a responsibility that once those are brought to the table and say these changes need to be and to happen, that's great. There are 48 school districts in the state of Wyoming that do everything a little bit differently because how you interpret the rules, how you interpret all that. And you know, if there's one thing that came out of yesterday, especially visiting with our auditor and our district legal team, is we get the opportunity to create our policy, which is what we'll truly be held accountable for. So what we need to make sure is our policy aligns to all the changes that have happened. A classic example, we found out in our initial audit that we our procurement policy was not up to snuff, so we adopted a new one. Well, 3 months later, it's now outdated again. So now we need to do this again.
Oh,
so
geez.
Some of the rules change, but it's also some of the interpretations.
Yeah.
There's an interpretation. Now I'm getting into the weeds, but the interpretation of what is a supply? Is that really a piece of equipment? Is that a truck? Are those things? So when you look at those, we really need to clarify that because what we don't want to do is have to go out. We want to spend the taxpayers' dollars effectively and efficiently. So there's a difference between going out to bid and getting three qualified bids, okay? Getting quotes. So defining the difference between a quote and a bid. Defining what that process looks like. Well, there's a difference between a closed bid and a bid that's evaluated based on a rubrics.
So basically you're saying not just anybody can come in to a district and sort of decide how it's going to be interpreted. We have to go by these federal rules, and we have to be pretty dang up on that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so here's two things. When our school auditor, who audits all other schools, says this is one of the best professional developments he's had and now has a better understanding and is going to help districts get better and make sure that we're following the statutes, federal statutes, that's a good thing, all right?
Yeah.
This was not a come together. It was a very long training. It was intense. This book, you need to kind of be a legal attorney to understand the rules, and that's all just with federal grants. And so how we do that in the state is different. So we're moving in the right direction, okay? And that's Mr. Positive here. That's what I do. We are making changes. But every district is in the same boat. There's a lot of districts that will go back. They're doing good things just like us, but there's areas they need to improve on or change policy in, but understand. So what happened in Johnson County the last 2 days was I think we made a difference. And now what we just talked about prior to you two coming in today is now we need to, okay, not only are we implementing a brand new software system to manage funds, we got to tie everything we're doing with that to what we learned, okay? And that starts with revisiting our procurement policy for the future. But also making it very clear that we probably need to revisit this every year.
So that we can do it.
So
right.
It's not at fault. But you did ask that question initially. So what does this mean? Our federal investigation, our federal audits are no different than what's happened before. This district, along with other districts, have had to return money. But there is that potential of losing funds if you are not proactive. And I am Mr. Proactive, so we're going to be proactive. So are we on the edge of losing them? No, because we're demonstrating we want to keep these funds because it's best for kids.
Yes, it is best for kids. So let's switch our attention, and we'll come back in further interviews, you know, to talk more about all this financial, because it's so complicated. And believe me, you're earning your money by understanding and knowing these things, because this is not easy stuff.
It's not. So thank you, but it is, and I would love to come back and visit that, because this does impact the district. But
absolutely.
I need our stakeholders to know it's not something that we're taking lightly, but we are we're doing our best to move forward.
Let's talk. Let's change our focus just for the last 2 minutes of our interview to safety. You know, we're always worried about school safety in these times. You have a TAC 1 training coming next week. What are the takeaways? Quick for
absolutely. So you guys have agreed. We'll put that schedule out. Everybody should have received something. Parents should have received something from individual schools. But
yeah, let me just break in. So 307 Net Radio on the website, and
yes.
We'll have the TAC 1
schedule,
and people can attend from the community. So just look for that.
So we introduced this last year, and it can be referenced as active shooter, but it's more than that. It's safety drills. How do you deal with situations? So this is the second year. It's going to look a little different. So next Monday is a professional development day for staff, so it's no students. So we're going to start at Buffalo High School in the morning. We're going to do a quick introduction, and then we're going to go through some scenarios with staff, and then at lunch we're going to break, and then we're going to be more grade level specific. So then we're going to go to Cloud Peak Elementary, and then we're going to go to the middle school, two trainers there. So we're going to actually be training with staff, and then we're going to have a community meeting Monday night at Buffalo High School at the auditorium, if I'm getting this correct on the schedule.
So Monday, January 16th?
16th, yes. And then we move into Tuesday, and we're going to actually be in the schools. You'll see that schedule. You as parents should know when it's going on. It is an opt-out. It's kind of like a fire drill. The elementaries are just practicing angles and, you know, how do you exit a building correctly type of thing. So everything is very grade specific as we go. So the goal is throughout the whole week is to hit every building, including Casey. So it's going to be more training. Last year, because of COVID things, we were limited on trainers. But this year we do have full three trainers, so we will be in the buildings for a couple hours throughout the week. With that, so in the buildings the majority of the rest of the week. Tuesday night is a Cloud Peak community meeting, so if you can't make BHS Monday night, Tuesday night is that. And then at Clear Creek, the TAC 1 staff is going to put on a women's defense class. It's maxed out at 30 people, but parents can come sit in the bleachers and watch. It's 30 participants.
Is it full?
I don't know yet. We'll have to ask Heidi on the way out. I think it just got pushed out. I think we only had 4 or 5 at this point in time, but anybody can sign up.
So they sign up by contacting the school district here.
Yep, absolutely.
Heidi Sanchez is the contact.
Yep. Please sign up for that. So that'll be Wednesday evening. We'll be in KC, and then Friday we'll wrap up with district administration. And then on Saturday, we have two trainings with our local law enforcement, and those will take place at Cloud Peak Elementary this year. We were at Buffalo High School last year, so this also incorporates our local law enforcement. So they are going to get some training. That's going to be based around kind of triage and scenario training, similar to last year. So that it is definitely a full week. We start about 7:15 every morning, and we get done about 8 or 8:30 every night with some kind of training throughout the whole district.
Oh.
So there's a lot of things happening. So
well, that's great.
We
as a community, you know, are always happy when we're doing everything we can to keep kids safe and teachers and, you know, staff safe at our schools.
Yeah, and thank you. And more importantly, that collaborative, I mean, we're not only training staff and students, and we want the parents to be able to ask questions, but to have the law enforcement being willing to work with and be a part of this process is super awesome.
It is awesome, yeah. Yes. Well, is there anything else you want to wrap up with or The other thought is we're going to meet again probably next week and talk
some
more.
We will, because it's important. It's important. We have a lot of things going on financially. We're looking at next year already, budgets, schedules. Another great topic, which is always, is our two-year calendar is been out for survey for approval, and what we look at that. We've come out of that with a four-day committee, which came out of a survey from last year, and I want to say it's a committee. It's not where the district is headed, but there were stakeholders that wanted to revisit that, so we are revisiting it. But our current calendar is a two-year calendar. So there are so many great things that I think the community needs to be informed with. So, yes, this is a great opportunity to visit.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for visiting with us this morning, and have a great weekend.
You guys too.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.